Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you, church, for being here tonight. Thank you for your attention. I had turned this mic down a little bit, so if it's too low, let me know. I tried to make it where when Justin had turned it up or down a little bit, it didn't affect this so much. So we'll see how that works out. I think I've got it all set up again, so maybe it's all working now. You'll turn your Bibles, first of all, to Romans chapter 13. We've been taking a series out of here called Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our third message. And we're going to start in verse 9 and read down through verse 14. And verse 9 says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, as in the day, and not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh, and fulfill the lust thereof." The thought here is to cast off any darkness in your life and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wear him as a clothing in your life. Make him, we're supposed to shine in darkness. And this is a very dark world we live in. And we should be shining in it. A lot of Christians are not shining anymore, because they don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this for a fact. It's not something I think or it's possible. I know this for a fact. Now, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians, we got down where we was talking about justification and sanctification. Our justification is our righteousness. Our sanctification is our holiness in life. He says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in a sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, but even as the Gentiles which knew not God." That's lost people. That's not just all Gentiles, that's lost people. "That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we all, as we also have forewarned you and testified." So the Lord told us here in verse 3 to that this is the will of God, that your sanctification and you know how to possess your vessel in a sanctified and honorable way. We got down to the verse 3. We're looking at a specific thing, and it's weird and strange to me that the Lord mentioned fornication. Fornication is also defined as including adultery and incest, but it also includes idolatry. So while we're not to, and I thought it odd because that's what the word the Lord used there. And let's go back. I want to say something. When we understand the Word of God, let us understand that this is the Word of God to us in the English language, okay? This was transcribed from the Textus Receptus. This was transcribed from as close to the original language as you can get. In fact, it was, you could pretty much just say it is transcribed into the English language and the original language. But as any language, and you talk to people that speak different languages, and there are certain words that mean different things, like Galatians chapter 6, you have a burden and a burden. They're actually two different Greek words. One, you must carry your own burdens, and the other is burdens that you can share. Death is a burden you must carry. A loan or financial problem, hey, I can give you a little help. Well, I can't anymore, but somebody, you know, help with that. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, and the Bible's also in a language that we understand. For example, does God have a hand? No. But we're in the hand of God. Because God doesn't have a hand doesn't mean that we're not, he's not holding us. God is a spirit, okay? God is a spirit. God is not a he. God is non-sexual. He has no sex. But he's called he in the Word of God. I'm not trying to confuse things, but there's a reason I'm saying this is because the word fornication was used, fornication also talks about abstaining from idolatry. Idolatry is one of the biggest problems we have in the Christian world today. And it's because people are not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not wearing the scriptures with them. They're not endeared into the scriptures. They work too hard. They study too hard. And if you study one thing and the Word of God too hard, it will make you go crazy. I was told to A.W. Pink, one of the greatest authors I know, who died in, I think it was 1940s or somewhere, went crazy at the end. Because that's what a lot of these people do. When they work too hard, and if you're not careful, it will pull you away from the truth. And I'm getting reports right now that there's some preachers that we know, some preachers I know, that are not walking in the truth as it is written anymore. Some of them shine away from some of the truth. So we have to be careful in our life as Christians not to allow ourselves to get caught up into false doctrine. And if we read too much of some author or this or that, we can do that. We're not vulnerable. We can be led astray. Don't ever think that we cannot be led astray. We most certainly did. I work hard to try to make sure everything I preach is absolute truth. Some of it may sound like it's out in the pasture somewhere, and I may have drug it up from somewhere, but it's because I studied it, and that's what I came up with on it. I preach what I believe. I don't preach anything else. And if people don't like it, that's their problem. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. I'm going to skip some of this, because I think I've already got there. So, the Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he says that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, again, we're putting on Christ. Now we're putting on the new man. Christ is the new man in us, isn't he? Christ is our new man. The Spirit of Holy Spirit is our new inner being. And he quickens our spirit and makes our spirit alive, and he stays with us our entire rest of our life. He never leaves us. Well, that's the same thing with Christ. Christ is the Holy Spirit because he's God, and God's not separate. God is one. So if the Spirit's there, Christ is there. If Christ is there, God is there, God the Father. And that means the Trinity is in us. And as it goes everywhere we go, does everything we do. He is our righteousness. And the Lord tells us that if we walk in this book right here, that we will obey God and we will wear our righteousness. Because this is like having the Holy Spirit on you. This is like having Christ on you. This is like having God the Father on you. You are wearing sanctification. You are doing sanctified things in your life. You're doing holy things in your life. Let me quote again one of our former pastors here, Brother Mink, from his study of Ephesians. Anytime I study Ephesians, I love to go to Brother Mink's study on our website because he's a very intelligent man. Was. So let me quote him here. He says, the new man is created in the image of God, regaining that which was lost in the fall, righteousness and true holiness. He's right. That's what was lost in the fall, and that's what's gained back in Christ, isn't it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is in part what Paul meant. This is him still talking. This is in part what Paul meant when he said to the Ephesian saints, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. So by faith, we walk hand in hand with God. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do when we put on Christ. That's what we do when we wake up in the morning and we walk in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the truth of God. He goes on to say, and deal righteously with one another, while showing the world that holiness becomes us. Showing the world that holiness becomes us, he said. And he's right. We are supposed to be the light of God's Word. We are supposed to be the light of Jesus Christ in the world. And we can't do that if we're not walking according to the Word. We can't do that if we're allowing ourselves to be led astray by false doctrine. We have to learn, and I've had to learn this. When I came here, I was a very young preacher. While I preached 20 years, been a minister 20 years, I had not ever pastored church. I had much to learn. You all went through plenty of stuff with me, and you may still be, but you have to learn. And when you learn those things, you have to stay with them. And you got to watch out who your friends are. And you got to, I don't care if they're ministers. I don't care if they're Christians. I don't care if they support you. I don't care. The only thing that matters is Christ. The only thing that matters is God. The only thing that matters is the Word of God, that we are keeping ourselves holy and straight in the eyes of God. What everybody else does is their business. And sometimes preachers want to start following. It's like dominoes. Others will start following because they're friends, they're friends, they're friends, they're friends. The friendship is deep. So this is the will of God for who? Every believer, isn't it? That we walk in righteousness, putting the old man behind us, putting on the new man, putting on Christ every single day of our life. Are we going to be perfect? No, we will fall. We will fail. But at least we're struggling. At least we're wearing Christ. At least we're working for the truth all the time, aren't we? That's the bottom line goal, isn't it? That we seek the truth and that we find the truth, and that we walk in the truth. That's the bottom line to it all. Let me get my glasses cleaned here. So, Brother Mink continued. He said, holy and righteousness is the proper fruit of the renewed life. What is? Holy and righteousness is the new fruit, or the proper fruit for renewed life. For without these fruits, it is apparent that the old man is still enthroned in the life. Understand what he's saying. The thing is, for a Christian, is put the old man behind us. Leave him behind. I know it's hard. He's still with us, isn't he? He still goes everywhere we go. And sometimes, it's like Paul said, there's a battle within us. But the battle of the new man must win. The battle of the new man must win. He goes on to say, holiness spoken of here is not the kind that makes one proud and characteristic, but the kind that makes one humble and grateful toward God. Humble and grateful toward the Lord. The problem is, too many are not grateful. And they are not humble either. Folks, there's been an apostasy, there's been a falling away. A lot of Christians, good Christians, have fallen away from the truth. A lot of churches, a lot of good churches, have fallen away from the truth. A lot of good preachers, a lot of good pastors have fallen away from some of the truth. We quit being grateful to God. We must be thankful and grateful to God that we have a new man. That we wear that new man. And we use that new man in us to satisfy God. All Christ ever did was satisfy God. His total existence was to do his Father's will, wasn't it? That should be our total existence. It's not about cars or homes or family. It's not about friends. It's not about this or that. It's about God. If you are a child of God, life on this earth is about God. It's not about anything else. It's not about glory. It is only about God. Without God, we're useless. We're as useless as a purple-haired, green-haired, ugly, tattooed-up people running around looking like they drop down from some foreign planet. You understand what I'm saying? You see them too. our sanctified walk, that was all Brother Mink said right there. Our sanctified walk, that is God's will for us. Remember, this is God's will for us, the sanctified walk. In a humble and thankful manner toward God for his love and grace to us, as Brother Mink said, didn't he? It goes on to say, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what God made us. When he saved our souls, he made us that. He made us sanctified. He made us holy. He made us righteous. Sanctified, holy, same thing. He made us righteous. He gave us the ability to be able to walk. We're talking about the blessings of salvation on Sunday. Those are God's gifts to us. It's not just eight, as we mentioned in there. It's a lot more than that. It's also our walk in this life, isn't it? These benefits we look at, peace, access, hope, faith, tribulations, patience. We're going to have experience and hope, I think both Sunday, experience and hope. These are all things that put us in contact with God. These are all things that make us praise the Lord. So much so, we don't want to fall. God help us. We don't want to fall. I told you 19 years ago, when I took this pulpit, I wanted to lead this church better than it was when I found it. I think we're there. I think right now that's where we're at. We still believe the truth here, don't we? We haven't messed anything up. That's my goal. I worry about that. I concern myself about that. That's the reason I worked so hard on my messages. Let us walk as though we're walking to please the Lord. So Oscar Meek, we'll close with his thoughts on with this thought. He closed with this passage of scripture. He said, let us close by reminding ourselves that all human righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. He's right. I don't care what human righteousness is, it's still filthy to God because it's sin tainted, isn't it? The only good in us is Christ. Let me say it again. The only good in us is Christ. There's nothing good about us outside of Christ. That's what Brother Mink's saying here. It's all as filthy. Human righteousness is as filthy rags inside of God. You know, people say, well, Grandma was a good person. Grandma was a depraved sinner. Grandpa, there wasn't a sweeter guy on earth. Grandpa was a depraved sinner. Your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, all of them, your friends, all of them are depraved sinners unless God has given them the Holy Spirit to bring them to Christ. Go to Romans 6. This is where I want to get to. And again, you're probably going to think I'm crazy here. But I'll tell you, I study things. Am I always right? Probably not. I would never say I am. But let me tell you something here. Words in the Bible have meaning. I told you a while ago about the translation of the scriptures. About the two burdens over in Galatians 6. If you ain't been over there, read it. Go read chapter 6 of Galatians and you figure it out. I already know it. I've already figured it out. I figured it out long ago. I preached a message about it and Brother Hammond thought I was going to, he said, I just thought you were going to fall flat on your face when you preached that message. He said, but it was good. It was good. And the reason it was is because you divide the two burdens in chapter 6. They have the same word in the Bible, but they mean different things. So, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let's read these three verses, or four verses altogether, and let's look at them closely. He says, for you know not, verse 3, Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified in him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, hence that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, let me ask you this. All of you have been baptized. I don't know who baptized you, but all of you have been baptized. When you went down in the water and you came back up, what changed about you? Nothing. See, you were saved before you went down in the water. And when you came up, you were the same person. You were still a Christian, weren't you? Your sins had been cleansed. See, the word baptized and baptism, it means immersion. Immersion. Immersion goes a lot deeper and farther than baptism. But it's 99% of the time, if not 100, and looked it up, it's called baptism. Like the Holy Spirit baptizes with fire, or, you know, just, you know all the baptisms in there. But what it means is you're immersed. What is the Lord's Supper to us? Does the Lord's Supper change us? No. What is it? It's a symbolic ordinance that we perform and we do here at this church to take of the Lord's Supper in representation of the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go down in the baptistry. When we go down, we're doing like a watery grave. When we go down and we rise up as Christ went into the grave and rose from the dead. But he said, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. As many as were immersed in Jesus Christ were immersed into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto in a like manner of his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You don't come out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, although we use these scriptures for that. That's not what we do. When we are immersed in Christ, when we are wearing Christ, when we clothe ourselves with Christ, that's when we are walking in the newness of life, isn't it? A lot of people have been baptized, and they don't even come to church. These things don't change us like the Lord's Supper doesn't change us. It's a symbolic ordinance to remind us as Christians what Christ done for us. Baptism is the representation, likeness to what it meant to go into the grave and come up out of the grave. One of these days, we're going to be raised from the grave and be with Christ eternally. I'm not criticizing baptism at all. Baptism is the ordinance of the church, the second ordinance of the church. But it doesn't change you. You've already been saved. You've already been righteous, made righteous, holy, sanctified. Now, it's our job as Christians, as servants of God, as servants of Christ, to walk in the newness of life, walk in Christ every day. Go to Galatians chapter 3. verse 25. See if you see here what I see. But after, in verse 25, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Schoolmaster brought us to Christ, didn't it? Schoolmaster showed us, it's like a tutor. You know, like you're taken by the hand and led through your salvation. The schoolmaster brings us to Christ. It teaches us that we're sinners. You hear a lot of preachers, I'm a sinner. So you come to Christ. The schoolmaster brings us to Christ. Let's move on. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we are Christians, aren't we? That's how we're saved. That's how we become sanctified and justified. And one of these days we'll be glorified together. Now, look at the next verse. For as many as you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Same thing, isn't it? You're immersed in Christ. When you go down into the waters, you don't put on Christ. You put on Christ when you're saved, don't you? When you were justified by faith is when you put on Christ, isn't it? You better have, because God gave you a new man. God gave you a living spirit. God put the Holy Spirit in your heart to quicken it and to make you come to Christ. Caused you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord drug us to Christ? When he draws, it drags. The power of God brought us to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and caused us to believe. Gave us the faith to believe, because we didn't have faith to believe. All of that was done by faith in Christ Jesus, wasn't it? But he goes on to say, for as many as us were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and the heirs of promise. See, it goes deeper, doesn't it? If you are Christ, in other words, if you're saved, then you are Abraham's seed. This goes right along with Romans 11, doesn't it? You're Abraham's seed, and you are also the heirs of promise. The promises gave to Abraham and his people is our promises. All these things God does for us changes us. It changes us from what we were. As Brother Mink said, the greatest righteousness, I'm not going to go back and get quoted exactly, but I'll paraphrase it. The greatest righteousness of people is filthy rags to God. The only righteousness in us is Christ and what God hath made us. Why are we just? Because the justifier died to make us just, didn't he? We have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus. We've been paid for. God gave us new things. We have a living spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us to teach us right from wrong, to teach us how to walk in holiness, how to walk in righteousness, how to read the Word of God and understand the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Galatians chapter 5, if you will. So, our sanctification is our purification, so our walk can be pure. Not that we'll never sin. Not that we'll never fall. Not that we'll never get knocked down. But when we do fall, when we do knock down, when we are wrong, we can correct that by getting up and working more for the Lord. We can walk in this world like as to Christ. Not exactly like Christ. We're not God, are we? But we wear Christ, we're walking in righteousness. When you're walking in the Word of God, you're walking in righteousness. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, this I say then, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's simple, isn't it? Isn't it simple? As long as you are walking in these words, as long as you are obeying God's word, not obeying Charles Haddon Spurgeon, not obeying John Gill, not obeying Oscar Mink, not obeying any other preacher, not obeying myself, but the Word of God. As long as you're walking according to that Word, you know what you're not doing? You're not walking unrighteously. Remember what Mink said? The greatest of the goodness of the flesh is still filthy rags to God. This is pure and perfect. Walk according to God's word. Even if people don't like it. I put posts on Facebook all the time, and maybe people don't read them. I don't know. I get 5, 8, maybe 9, 10 likes. I'm not frustrated with it. Why would I be? The 8, 9, 5, 6, 3, whatever people likes it, apparently enjoying it. And that makes it worthwhile, doesn't it? I may preach to 10, 12, 15 people here, and other preachers may preach to thousands, but at least these 10, 12, 15 are enjoying what they're hearing. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's our battle, isn't it? The old man and the new man. The problem is, a lot of Christians have not learned to control the old man. What did James say? We got to tell Satan to get hints, don't we? We got to tell Satan to get out of here. And that's what we got to tell the old man, isn't it? You just get on out of here. You leave me alone. And you know what? If you are walking in righteousness, if you put on Christ every day, you go into this filthy world with all the green hair and the orange hair and the transvestites and everybody else, and you go into this old world where criminals are walking into the stores and stealing what they want and walk out free. When you walk into this whole world, you're going to be different. You're going to be strange. You're going to be unusual to them. And if you're not, you're not doing it right. So for the flesh lusteth against spirit, and the spirit against flesh, and these are contrary to one another. In other words, they contradict each other. You know, if a lot of Christians, I know I'm out of time, if a lot of Christians would just realize that when they're pleasing their flesh, their desires, they're not pleasing God. They convince themselves that they can do both. They can please themselves in the flesh and please the spirit, but that's not what God said, is it? He said they are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Lord says you cannot serve God and mammon. Why not? One will cause you to hate the other. One will cause you to despise the other. People that are pleasing the spirit are not pleasing the flesh. And people that are pleasing the flesh, whether they think it so or not, they are not pleasing God. Isn't our goal in life to please the Lord? Is it that our total existence in this life to please the Lord? And if we're not, we're failing. If not, we're not putting on Christ. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I come not to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. So are we doing the will of our Father? As individual Christians and as a church, that's what we have to look at. And that's what every church and every Christian has to look at. Am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing Christ in this life? Let's all stand. Have a good day. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie, you feel like leading us in a word of prayer? Did you pray a while ago? Okay, go ahead and dismiss this word of prayer.
Our Father, which in these days, thank you.